You don't see it, do you? How close we are to absolute chaos. The sick ones are sitting on their fat asses, eating and drinking themselves into a stupor, polluting the world without a second thought while it goes down the toilet. Nobody wants to do the nasty work. You know, the shit that we all just think about. Most good citizens are just along for the ride and then bitch and moan and complain about everything when it doesn't work out. Not me. Get it done.
Revolution Radio, where we do the nasty work. www.freedomslips.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. If you plan to call in and speak with one of our hosts, please turn down your radio and separate yourself from any background noise and wait for the area code to be called on before you speak. And don't forget, Revolution Radio freedomslips.com is listener supported. So stop by the homepage, freedomslips.com, visit the site support area to help support the host you're listening to's airtime. Thank you. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, where the truth never sleeps.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace... Stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on till 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Alrighty. Welcome. This is Keith Hazy live on Revolution Radio, 100% volunteer at every level, straight up through management. So we all apply ourselves in what ways we can. And this is, of course, where I ask for your support for the network in its 10th year. And I'll tell you what, I'm very pleased that I'm a broadcaster at this time, broadcasting the apocalypse, which to my understanding means the revelation of, you know, the knowledge that's coming out. And it continues to come out. We've got, they continue to kind of drip feed stuff here and there. And, you know, instead of some great massive indictment that just... for instance, we just found out more about Hunter Biden's laptop. They keep leaking little tidbits. In this case, it's photographs of Joe Biden appearing with Hunter Biden's business partners. And in these cases, some billionaires in Mexico, I believe, was the most recent one. So this is... I mean, the lies, the endless lies... oh my God! For whatever, whoever, listen. Maybe a lot of people don't think that's even the real Joe Biden. I don't know, folks. Okay. I think we're on now. Hey, that I think I was dead air there for the beginning of the show. My apologies. I just my computer started shutting down by itself, And this happened once before, and I studied some YouTube videos on computer repair, and one of them caught my eye. I think it said Easy Fix. I forget what the title was. But what it showed you how to do was just take your computer apart and take one of those canned air. Yeah, again, sorry for, I apologize. I'm explaining why I didn't have mic audio. So I did that. I took my computer apart earlier today, actually late this afternoon, sprayed it all out, cleaned it up real good, especially around the microprocessor and the fan associated with it. But the whole board and even the power supply and stuff. And sure enough, it's working fine now. But I had forgotten to plug one thing, one of my USB cables back in, which happens to be the one that takes the mixer audio and then converts it into digital and USB. So the mixer will do that itself. But I have more. It is a USB mixer. But I actually have more audio routing options if I use an external device. So anyway, there you go. Sorry for the delay in getting the show started. Again, this is Keith AZ on Revolution Radio, 100% volunteer. And that is at every level. From us lowly hosts up through the wonderful management and all you fantastic listeners out there. So please do take a minute and go to the support page and help keep this network alive. So at any rate, oh, and Doc, you call in anytime if you want to join me tonight. You're welcome. I don't have any guests. And maybe we'll even give out the phone number in the second hour. So again, you know, we just keep getting more and more information. It's now it's actually even in news stations, they're starting to say, well, did COVID come from the lab? And of course, we have more damning evidence. Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch has been all over this one of linking funding U.S. taxpayer dollars to this Wuhan lab through the offices of Little Tony, that's Anthony Fauci, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Supposedly, Dan Bongino was talking about this. Supposedly, there is a let me take this audio settings off the page, off the close that window. More and more evidence keeps coming out. We have Hunter Biden's laptop. More stuff trickles out about that. Latest is photographs of Joe Biden, who on repeated occasions says he has nothing to do with Hunter's business transactions. More evidence comes out, in this case, photographs of Biden with some Mexican billionaires. Joe Biden with some Mexican billionaire business partners of Hunter Biden. You know, I'll tell you, if this was Donald Trump's junior's laptop, my God, this stuff would be smeared all over the place. We're continuing to get this information slowly but steadily. And will it turn the tide? Well, I think it'll be part of what does. You know, as the truth continues to come out, and we see again and again and again how these players have lied to us, whether it be in politics or mainstream news. And more and more alternative platforms are coming out. I heard of a couple of more today, and I can't remember the names of them. Are those Gitters or something like that? And the people involved, and they're wondering if Trump's going to go to this platform, or I know Trump was talking about creating his own. I kind of suspect that may be in progress. So it'll be interesting. The suppression continues as well. People are still continuing to get banned off YouTube, but they are going to many of these alternative formats such as Odyssey, such as Rumble, such as BitChute, which is the one I'm using the most so far. There's brand new tube. God, I don't even remember all of them. But it's forcing people to find other ways. That story on Dave DeBine's show, great show, by the way, Dave, again, you always hit it out of the park. Good job, my friend. But talking about how with the advent of the printing press and producing a lot of copies of the Bible, certain elements of those would-be tyrants, we can't have the people getting their hands on the Bible, you know, and reading it for themselves. They need the intermediary of the church, you know. They're supposed to go through the priests and all that, and we can't have people having it. So they bought up, like, all of them. And then, within short order, people were having the Bibles were coming out, and people were getting them in their hands. And so they I just love that story. So they said, well, thank you. It's because you bought them all up that information became more readily available because we had the funds then to go ahead and produce more. So at any rate, that information, I think that is a very interesting, example of when information is suppressed, more people become interested in it. Quite frankly, was talking about that last night too. He had a similar type of situation talking about back in, I remember this well, I forget if it was the late 70s or early 80s, they had this big deal to put on labels on albums if they had anything that was considered, violent or sexual or drug oriented. And so they wanted to have a parent's warning label on here. And Frank Zappa, of course, was very eloquent. But Frank played a John Denver addressing Congress. And boy, was he ever eloquent. And you never would have expected him to be a champion, but he really put it out really well. You know, when you say this stuff is bad, that's going to make our children more interested in it, hearing it. And it's going to have the reverse effect. And besides, the main place where this is supposed to happen is in the household, the parents, you know. If you start censoring this, stuff, who knows where that goes in the hands of a tyrant. Once they have those tools, and of course we're seeing it now where they are not censoring content and presenters because they're lying. They never go after them on that. It's just if you even question the election or question the vaccine or question the pick a topic that's threatening to them, then they can get you removed. Tom Fitton brought out a lot more information about how, in his latest post that I watched earlier today, about how they're actually subpoenaing documents how they have these preferred arrangements. So the governor's office can directly call up Twitter and say, hey, this guy is saying this. Frank had Dr. Shiva on with him last night for a bit, describing a court case that he's fighting right now. And according to him, is getting positive results on. So we will see how this plays out. But I think the main thing that's happening that we can take away as a big positive is that lots of individuals are getting together in their communities and they're not having it. So anyway, again, I don't know, Doc, who maybe if you want to join in, you're welcome to. Again, I don't have any guests tonight. So call on in if you would like. I was thinking of something. There's so many subjects. We'll stick with politics for a couple more minutes. Oh, yeah, let me just finish up with John Denver. So he also said I had forgotten this, but now I remember. His song Rocky Mountain High was banned from some radio stations because they thought it was about smoking marijuana, I guess. And he said, no, this is about taking my buddies, going out camping in nature and seeing the stars at night where their stars are so bright you have a shadow, and the rock up in the beautiful Rocky Mountains. And it was a song about celebrating that very organic type of experience. Camping's great. I haven't done it in freaking millennia, but when I was young, we went to Yosemite once. I got to tell you the story about Yosemite. So we're camping there for about 5 days. I forget how much time we had. It was 4 or 5 days, better part of a week anyway. And so part of our adventure, our itinerary, is to climb up a half dome, because if you're camping at Yosemite, you've got to climb up Half Dome, unless you're in some other region. It's a very large park, of course. But we are in the main part, and there's the base camp there, and then there's you get a hiking camping permit and all this stuff, and watch out for the bears, because they will steal stuff if you just turn your back, and you got a sandwich in your backpack and you're leaning against it. Next thing you know, you'll hear a rustling behind you, and half your food supply is gone that you have carefully calculated to get you through your time there. So you got to actually hang your food from a rope in the middle, in between where you're all sleeping and have your campfire. So anyway, we climb up Half Dome, and this just blew my mind. We met some young ladies up there, and all around our age, and they had some weed. So we're all hippies back then. We're all, yeah. So we smoked some weed up there with them, and then this one girl, there is a protuberance on Half Dome that's called the diving board, and sadly, many people have intentionally taken their life by jumping off it, it's an incredible drop. It's like a half mile to the valley floor, something ridiculous, 2,000 something feet, I believe, and a great deal of that before you would even hit anything, because it's such a sheer cliff face, right? So we're now stoned, and this girl walks out to the very end of the diving board, and it literally at the very end of it, it is about the size of a, you know, so on either side of her feet and in front of her toes is the abyss. This is, oh man, and I'm watching her, and my jaw's on the freaking ground. Now, after she did that, what I did is I got completely prostrate before I was even 15 feet from the edge. Oh, and by the way she walked up to it too, she just kind of sauntered up to it, walked right to the edge, looked out over around and stuff, and then turned around and walked back like nothing. And I'm losing my freaking mind. I go, okay, I know this thing will hold me. And I know it's not, you know, the end's not going to crack off probably, because she just put it at the ultimate stress level, at the very tip of the damn thing. I mean, if there was that thing could have cracked. I don't know, man. So I'm 15 feet away from him. I'm on my hands and knees crawling out there, and I shimmy out to the end and look over the tip. And it was a trip. But anyway, funny story. You know, we have these experiences in our lives, don't we? Where it's just like, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so let's see what else we got. I don't have that much for you tonight, I hate to say. I do. You know what? Maybe I'll just give the call-in number now. If we see if we can get some calls. It's always kind of a roll of the wheel, you know. But if somebody... Certain people I'm not taking, all right? This is not an open lines. I really have to be able to manage the conversation, because, you know, sometimes people will get, you just, anyway, right? So the call-in number is 928-202-2222. 402-202-4608. And I'll give that out one more time. Area code 202. Area code 928, I mean. Sorry. Area code 928-202-4608. Huh. Doc Who is getting that the person he's calling is not taking calls at this time. Well, let's see if I can just bring you in then. You know, I just never know with Skype. You know, it just did a another update. And I've had every type of weird thing. You know, I keep thinking I've seen it all, and then some other new craziness happens with Skype that creates a problem. I had this one wonderful problem where like my mic audio was gone, and man, that was a weird one. I can't even remember. Doc, I'm calling you now. Let's see if you can answer from your end.
Hey, you caught me awake.
Well, that way worked. Thankfully, I noticed your thing in the chat.
Well, so, I had to come in as Doc Who Dat because, the studio player said something's wrong with the internet. I don't know how they voiced it. But at any rate, I'm in. I mean, you're going to have to call me from now on, because I could never get in. I've been trying to call you every time you're on, and I just keep getting the same message.
I'll have to go through my settings and see if something has defaulted or some weird thing.
Probably.
Yeah. But at any rate, you're here now, so that's good news. Any comments?
Well, yeah, sure, plenty. You know, what do you want to talk? What do you want to hear about?
Well, anything, but I just wanted to know, did you hear that story about that girl I was talking about?
Refresh my memory.
She walked up to the edge of Half Dome. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard that.
God. I'm thinking a strong gust of wind, you know? Filling out police reports.
Yeah.
And she was stoned, too, because we smoked weed with her.
Yeah.
I just had no fear at all. And that just wasn't heights. That's like just a couple thousand feet fall before you would even hit anything. Oh, man. I don't know. At any rate, any other stories that catch your attention? Wherever you want to go is fine.
Well, did you hear the blurb about Antarctica, and our troops, special unit, went down there and talked to some of the civilizations that are down there. They don't know, or they didn't say, how many civilizations were down there, but they said they got the information that there were 40 million inhabitants in Antarctica, down under. They said temperature was just lovely.
I don't recall hearing anything recent. Maybe Joseph Farrell referenced that on The Dark Journalist, maybe. But we've been hearing stories like that for a long time. I've also heard that somebody did say that, now that I think about it, that there's a military contingent, a new one, a stronger force or whatever, more troops were sent down, and I found it all kinds of crazy stuff. I suspect that there is an opening to inner Earth, and by inner Earth, I don't mean hollow like a geode, like the entire interior. I don't think that's the case. It's just intuition. It's not, obviously, I don't know for sure. But I think there's massive caverns, and the whole oceans. Brooks Agnew says there's more water underneath the surface of the Earth than there is on the surface. We're talking the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean and all the rest of them combined. So that's quite an astonishing assertion. But this is what, according to him, the seismic and other types of Earth penetrating technology has told us. But so, yeah, I think there's also very large open spaces. that could could have a, you know, so there probably is more than one group of inner Earth humans, probably reptilians. According to some, there's also all the animals that we think are extinct are surviving down there, including dinosaurs. That'd be interesting, man. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, we're gonna find out here pretty soon.
I hope so. I do think so as well.
Yep, me too.
Any more on that mention, or just to...
Hey, you better believe it. The guest that was on David Dubine's show tonight, very intelligent fellow, and he was talking about something I've known about for years, and that was that he didn't think the Great Flood was rain at all, that it came from beneath the surface of the earth through fissures and geysers and the like. And I had heard that quite a long time ago, maybe a couple of decades. And they even had an animation of what it might have looked like. And so...
Interesting.
That was interesting. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I didn't hear that part of the. I didn't hear that part of the show.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
Well, there's another idea, or at least this is my idea as a possibility, that there was a firmament, which was an ocean in the sky. And so under that firmament, we had a much more regulated atmosphere. So it was like 70 degrees whether you were on the South Pole or the equator. And by the way, I was going to mention, it's going back to Antarctica for a second. Antarctica is a huge continent. It's I think it's as big as America, and I'm not sure if that including Alaska or not, but it's around, it's actually bigger than at least the contiguous states of the U.S.
Yeah, I think Antarctica was on Perry Reese's map, and it didn't have ice on it.
Not only that, but it had mountains and rivers and coast and a correct coastline, which was not actually verified until ground-penetrating radar, I think, as late as in the 50s, when they started, really surveying it.
Right. I agree.
So the coastlines were correct, in areas that are solid filled in with ice that are part of the ocean. So, we didn't know what the coastline was until then, and it matches the map that was believed copied from even earlier maps, and which believed, many researchers believe this was provided to Columbus, which is, gave him the confidence not to worry that he was sailing off the end of the world, as so many believed at that time.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot here on a daily basis. Things are going to just pop up everywhere.
We did have the unidentified aerial phenomena report from TIPS, which I forget. I believe that's a Pentagon program that, at any rate, we kind of what we expected. But they did actually, one of the researchers pointed out to me, the positive thing is it says, yes, these are real phenomenon. And then, of course, they go on to say, and they could be a threat. So we need more funding, hint, hint, so it wasn't that big a deal to, people like myself. But it did say they're real, So, So that's something anyway. Official government statement that is, they're real. Something's real and exceeds, has aerial characteristics that exceed current levels of technology. Official levels, of course. what they admit to. Well, of course. Ben Rich said we got the technology to take E.T. home.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh. For those that may know, Ben, I talked about him enough, but he rose up through Lockheed and replaced Jim Kelly as head of the organization, I believe. Mr. Rowe told me, no, it was just special projects. I thought he became overall CEO, but regardless, he was certainly involved in the stealth technology for sure.
Yeah.
So if somebody would know what capabilities... quote we have, and in this case, I assume he means the military-industrial complex, that it's real. So, and of course, you and I have believed that forever, I'm sure.
Yeah. I just heard some dirty stuff about Boeing, is that they're making bombs and sneaking them into various places on the planet. Very bad bombs.
Well, that's one of the, weapons in the arsenal of the deep state, isn't it? Is to create these events and blame it on whoever they want to target and, forward their one world government and total control plans.
It ain't going to work for them. Nothing they've tried in a long time has worked for them. They've failed miserably. The White Hats are watching them like a hawk. And they can't get away with anything anymore because they've lost so much money and so many personnel. I think it was, less than 2 weeks ago. I don't remember exactly how many days. Fauci spent the night, several nights ago, maybe Sunday night or Monday night, spent the night in Guantanamo. Guantanamo. So if you see him on TV, it's always a still photo or a file film.
Yeah, he may be. There's some people think that both he and Dr. Birx have been detained. Monkey Works has been saying that in the last couple of days, there's been a great deal of activity in Guantanamo Bay, including these large troop rotations and many flights there.
Yep.
So let's hope.
800,000 arrests within less than 2 weeks.
You know, we had, and they're just, gonna, yeah.
They're probably going to have to turn off the electricity in Washington.
Well, of course, again, that's another narrative they're already setting up, with California and the record heat, then the line is, well, and then I think New York did this too. They said, hey, everybody, reduce your electricity usage or we're going to have blackouts. So they're kind of setting the stage for, again, that sort of thing to take place.
My information from my people says that the intense heat out in the west, southwest especially, and west too, not just the southwest, is that the Chinese have altered the jet stream to send the heat, and then the rain is going to Three Gorges Dam, and it's getting to the critical point where we won't have to blow it up if that's what we were going to do. But that'll cause the CCP to go away because if the dam breaks, then there's not going to be any second chance.
Well, Christian W. has been reporting on that. There's been massive flooding in, I believe, Italy and Germany as well, in Europe. There's flooding. Yeah. Not hearing about that here. But she says, yeah, the upstream from the Three Gorges Dam, there's several other dams, and there's record rain, and it's they're having a really – she showed some video of the floodgates just being open wide to try to, you know, let out as much water as they can. So we'll see.
We indeed will, and so will the Chinese.
Yeah. Well, it'll be tragic if that dam goes.
Well, sure. You know, I got no problem with or quandary with the Chinese people, the regular Chinese people, not the Communist Party, because they're going to get what they deserve.
But some think that the same kind of flooding is going to some people are of the opinion that there's a deep underground base under Three Gorges. If you remember, the building of it went on and on forever, was cost way more, just like Denver Airport. And people suspect the cost overruns were because they were absorbing that into the construction of their nefarious, enclaves. And that if that dam does go, it's going to flood the hell out of some major underground bad stuff. So I don't know, man.
Well, in your own state, Arizona, I think they reported 26 earthquakes.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Very recently, and then I think it might have been Scott McCabe, maybe. And his people, his military contacts, let him know that those were not earthquakes. That they were destroyed. They destroyed 26 underground bases, laboratories, etc. We just call them bases, but they're not all military bases.
Yeah, I mean, they could be, all kinds of other supportive infrastructure. So there's the maglev trains, there could be manufacturing facilities, there could be a lot of other stuff, all the trafficking stuff type facilities. Yeah. So it's not just...
Don't leave Walmart out. Don't leave Walmart out.
What about Walmart?
Well, Sam Walton was the Uber warden of the Japanese internment camps. You knew that?
I don't remember if I've ever heard that or not, but it's not surprising.
That's okay. Anyway, he went right in to open all these megalo marches, as Hank Hill would say, and that's maglev trains are hooked up to most of the Walmarts, if not all of them. I was happy to be watching the local news here back when sportscasters were talking, and they stopped talking, and you could hear this big whooshing sound like Godzilla would make when he was exhaling. And it was that's back when they exploded the nuclear bomb, and it caused a crack in the Washington Monument because they had deep underground facilities at that end of the other end, which went all the way to somewhere in California. Can't remember exactly where, but you already know that the signature on the seismographs is different from an earthquake, right?
There's two type of waves that come off from a genuine earthquake, called an S and a P wave. And I don't remember the technical definitions of the difference between the two. But we're seeing these ones that just have one but not the other.
Well, anyway, where that noise came from was the tunnel system that ends at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. And that's why they could hear over at the baseball stadium for the Tampa Bay Rays in St. Pete. And it was loud. And I was just listening to the local news. And the other thing I'll mention as we depart underground bases is because, why? Because you asked. the state of Florida may sink 150 feet, and that makes a fire tower. I don't know. I used to know how tall those fire towers are, and I don't recall. But you know that condominium in Miami that half of it fell down?
Uh-huh.
Well, what's his name?
McAfee.
Yeah, had an apartment there.
Yep.
And he had spoken and said he had a kill switch. He didn't say where it was, but that might have been just a blind guess because there's so many. He had, I don't know if I heard you saying it a while back, a show or two ago. I don't think it would have been two shows, but it might have been. And that he had a kill switch that had terabytes of information. Are you the one that said you had a 2-terabyte computer?
Yes.
Okay, so it was you.
Yeah, we were talking about that Sunday night with Conrad and Viking, and I thought it was 31 terabytes. He says it's 81. Whatever it is, it's an unbelievable amount.
It's way up yonder, anyway.
2 terabytes of memory, and I barely use any of it.
So anyway, the other part of that question is, I was watching Bay News 9, which is out of Tampa, I think, or St. Pete, one of those two. I'm not sure which one. But they're pretty good local news. And I don't know, it was about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, hard to remember. And they did a piece on part of Miami Beach, part of their road system. And I don't know if it was US 1. I don't think they said, but they were spending $1.5 billion to raise the road because the salt water was encroaching. And they thought that the sea level was rising. Au contraire, Florida is sinking. We're one big sinkhole. It's nothing but a coral reef. And you can watch the guy that catches these big boa constrictors. And he was going barefoot down in the glades to catch these giant snakes because he got a bounty for them. And he escaped during that big hurricane that wiped out Homestead, Florida. And the zoos had large serpentariums. Plus, a lot of people in Miami, they had, you know, snakes for pets. And you got to clip their rats' canine-type teeth with a pair of side cutters so they don't hurt the snake. It's just, and then you drop the rat in and the rat freaks out. I knew somebody that had a snake, and that's what he did. I watched him do it. But at any rate, if the state of Florida sinks 150 feet, then not too far behind that, the sea level will probably rise 700 feet from where it is now. Well, now, how many people on the planet live within, say, 100 miles of the water. Most of them. Not many people.
Just about all of them. People congregate at water bodies, whether they be lakes or rivers or oceans. And so I think if you just calculate the people that live next to the major oceans, it's, I don't know, upwards of 80% of all populations. I think overall 90% of all. I do here. I live right next to a river. It goes through our property.
Most rivers are fault lines.
Most rivers are what?
Fault lines. Faults.
Fault lines.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
That's why the rivers follow that path. It's because, you know, the earth is given away to a degree. Yeah. You know, but some rivers are deep and some are wide, and some are shallow. It just depends on how much sediment fills the voids over, you know, how many millions of years. You know, and you got to think big when you think about Earth science and Earth geology and all of that kind of stuff. And that's what was my favorite. One of my favorite pursuit in college is in college was geology. I had a great instructor, and he was a little overweight, and the doodad he had on the pull on his jacket was a tiny little plastic Michelin man. I always thought that was cute.
I had a great chemistry teacher in high school who I attended the same high school Robin Williams did. Actually, the same college, too. He went to Redwood High School and College of Marin when he was, I guess his father was, I forget, Air Force or military of some kind. So they would move around from time to time. And for a time, he was stationed in the Bay Area. And so I got to talk to some various teachers that had him as a student. And he was just as sharp and just as nuts back then as he came to be in his career.
Is he still with us, or?
Robin Williams.
I was thinking about your teacher.
No, I had a teacher at high school, but also a person that I actually worked for, but she was involved with the College of Marin. She lived right there in Kentfield, and it's a little community college, and I went there for about 2.5 years studying music, actually. The music education I got there has served me extraordinarily well. I know I always recommend this to anybody that's a musician. Is I was telling this to Steve Travesty recently, learn your music theory, bro. It's not that hard. And you can really advance your craft at it, especially in terms of songwriting. The only curricula they had then was classical music. But I'm well grounded in classical music, harmony, and with an extension from that is jazz theory. Jazz theory, you're just adding some more chromatic notes and doing a little wilder chords than are allowed in classical. Classical's a little more rigid, but much of the same stuff that you hear in jazz music is straight out of classical. It's very interesting.
That's a lot of where the jazz musicians got their training. At that and church music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, when my mother was carrying me in my little quarters in her belly, she had all these 78 RPM records, and they're all in 432 hertz because they were old records, and that was before they went to 440 hertz, combined combined with fluoride, and it calcifies your pineal gland, which prevents people from having effective communication between their left and right hemispheres. And by the way, you might find this interesting. Besides, we're just talking. And I called in to, was it what night was that? Monday night, I think it was. Pretty sure. And Jimmy. His name is Jimmy.
You know, I used to know all who all the hosts were, but there's been so many changes, and I think I've heard the name, but I haven't heard his show. It's a roundtable.
Well, he does a good show.
Oh, good.
And he had the armchair survivor on, and he
Kurt said, Wilson?
Huh?
Is that Kurt Wilson?
I don't believe that was his name. I've got it wrote down here somewhere.
There's a number of those people.
What's that?
There's a number of those type of people.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this guy was the armchair survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, Jimmy says, if somebody wants to call in and stump whoever his name was, whatever.
Stop our guest.
So I was the first caller. And I said, whatever his name was, I said, do you know what Shungite is? And if so, what do you know about him? About it. And he was stumped. And Jimmy got such a kick out of that because I kind of, you know, hollered a little bit that I'd won something. It wasn't green stamps or nothing.
Well, Shungite kind of crosses that line between the survivalist and the more kind of esoteric world. It is health related.
Oh, yeah.
But survivalists, you know, although their main focus is more on, you know, some different areas. But yeah, that's interesting. I was getting I forget what you do with it. Do you put it in water? What's my best use for it?
With what? Shungite?
Yeah, I was given a little chunk of it. I don't know what
keep it close to you. Keep it in your pocket. I've got three little pebbles on a chain around my neck, and it ameliorates anything radioactive. It reverses the toroidal field spin from counterclockwise to clockwise. And one of the hosts who's been up in a ship for a ride, the ET said, don't bring any Shungite because we won't be able to control the ship. Well, that told me that their guidance system was based on, counterclockwise toroidal spin, because Shungite will reverse it, and so that's why I don't take it off.
Let me respond to a couple things in the comment room. The Greenheart has been making some nice comments. The Bill Gates, of course, buying up all the farmland. They are preparing for food shortages and high inflation, and they're paying farmers not to produce. They're paying for them to let their produce rot in warehouses, and they're cutting off the water, I believe, in Washington, Oregon, and California to some of these ranchers and farmers. So it's just
they're dumping it out in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Well, it's evil, you know. It's just straight up evil.
Yeah, big time.
So anyway, Greenheart also says, yes, that was Kurt Wilson. I bought some of his stuff way back when I first got into. I think he had a show on Oracle Radio Network, which is long since defunct.
I used to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I always liked him. And I thought his products were good that I happened to purchase from him. So, any rate. Okay, so you just basically wear it or keep it near you is your best advice with it. Put it on a necklace.
Yeah. Necklace.
It's a chunky.
You're better off putting shun guide in your pocket than you are a cell phone. That's for damn sure.
I thought it was one of those things where you put it in water and it like upgraded the water.
Oh, it purifies water upstream and downstream. And Jimmy even asked me after I stumped his guest, well, Doc, you're an expert on shun guide, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm not what you would call an expert, but I would call Nancy Hopkins an expert. That's where I got mine.
There, we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, The Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Please, come on. Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
But you'll never surrender.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio.
All right, let's show them what we got here.
You're listening to Keith AZ Live with Keith Roberts at Revolution.radio.
I bought a toothbrush, some toothpaste, a flannel for my face, pajamas, a hairbrush, new shoes and a case. I said to my reflection, let's get out of this place. Past the church and steeple, the laundry.
All right, we are back. This is Keith AZ Live on Revolution Radio, and Doc Who has been kind enough to join us tonight. I want to make another comment. Thank you, Greenheart, for I'm glad you enjoyed hearing Robert Stanley last week. He sends me stuff every now and then. I think it's just like a bulk Skype where he'll send links and downloads and stuff. And so I thought, well, what the hell? I'll just see if he wants to come in. I couldn't remember who he was, but I did have him. The whole reason I had a Skype contact is because I did a show with him some years back. And so I was really pleased that he was able to come on and stay for almost the full 2 hours. I really enjoyed chatting with him. So that was great. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. So see if there's anything else in the chat room. What did Jer Bear say? Jer Bear, mentioned, yeah, right. Okay, we'll talk about Trump for a minute. I think Trump is more powerful now than when he was in the presidency. He just seems ascendant somehow. So I don't know. You know, listen, I've been saying this for the past couple of months. I do not know how this is going to play out. And I am not convinced that he's coming back in August. Many people are. We are seeing forward momentum with the audits, and now, of course, a New York mayor race, they've just messed it up, and of course, they want to apply the federalize all the federalize all the elections everywhere. I just noticed comment says pick up the guitar and play a lick. Well, it won't be very loud, but I can do that. Well, I can't get it in a good position, but I've got to get my latest song. I finally want to put on YouTube, and so I texted a friend of mine who's much more savvy at these things, and haven't checked his return email yet. But I may do that soon, and then you can hear it in much better fidelity than I can run it across. It's actually fairly good. I think a lot of you will, might even want to hear it more than once. But it's my best ever. So for me, it's very good. Anyway, going back to Trump. Yes. First of all, he's a kingmaker. So whoever he almost, all with just very few exceptions of anybody he puts his support behind wins their election. And now the Dems are screaming about election problems. You know, it's okay for them to do it, but with this mayoral, forget if it was a primary or what it was, but at any rate, some number, I think 180 or something of test ballots were never separated. And so they got egg on their face big time. And, this election fraud has the potential to really have some legs. A number of different states sent legislative representatives to Arizona to check out what was going on. And they've, of course, the Dems and the Soroses and those types, or at least their organizations, are throwing lawyers at them like big time. And they have ignored subpoenas for the routers, the Dominion stuff from these state legislators in Arizona. And they've just refiled the subpoenas again. You know, how's it they can just ignore subpoenas and get away with it? You know, if you or I were subpoenaed, man, we didn't hand it over. We'd be having that one phone call to get some help and call a lawyer. You know, you'd be razzled up. So, but then, you know, there's no consequences. Hopefully we'll start to see consequences. But I think one of the biggest ones we're seeing is people are just having it. You know, they're just all over the country, particularly in red areas. People are going into their school boards and saying, hey, screw the mask, screw the critical race theory. People are getting more and more. What the stolen election effectively did was wake up a hell of a lot of clueless people, you know, that would think, oh, it can't happen here. Well, think about it for a moment. What does the election really mean? Well, it's part of it is going to be where trillions and trillions of dollars are allocated to be spent. So, yeah, will people cheat? Will people lie? Will people do even worse? Hell yes, and have been since there's been elections, probably. They've got their perfect rigged system, so they can insert whoever is their ideal candidate while pretending there's a choice with, you know, who whether it be the red or the blue party, depending on what their needs are and who's going to be the right face for the type of scam they want to perpetrate on with the, whatever their bills are or laws that they want to enact. So it's been going on forever. But in the case of the 2020 election, it was, man. See, they require that there be only about a 5 to 6% at most difference in the popularity of the candidate, because it's easy to hide that small of a swing. You know, if it's just, especially if it's just 2 or 3%, even if it's even slimmer than that. So they've got to keep us divided. They've got to keep us thinking there's us and the other party, you know, and really create this divisiveness. And of course, that's what the critical race theory and the BLM and Antifa is all about as well. Why the Democrats and the news media continues to peddle hate. There's systemic racism with General Miley up there the other day. Well, I got to understand white rage, you know, just give me a break. We had a 2-term black president, open borders, now a black woman vice president. I don't think you can argue that white supremacists are in control. No, these are globalists, not hellbent on dividing us. And so anyway, yes, Trump, of course, he did his rally. Was it last weekend or weekend before? I forget. I think it was last weekend. And then he just went to the border, to the actual border, not 8 miles from it. And, you know, of course, Kamala essentially just got out of a plane, ran and did her little spiel and then ran back. Oh, by the way, Kamala Harris is can't keep staffers. The inside story is that the people just can't stand her. She's a nasty bit of work, which is not, I mean, it's kind of how I've always seen her, you know. But at any rate, so Trump has been slamming them. So thanks for reminding me of that. And of course, we know that there's been an indictment on, and I forget who, I forgot the guys, one of his lawyers, right? Or apparently they're calling providing free parking, avoiding taxes. You know, and that's the best they could do. The Trump organization has been running a tight ship, as if that's the best they can come up with. And according to what I heard about that, is that actually providing, parking space in Washington and is common practice because on both the Dems and the Republicans, that's just kind of, you know, you're meeting with somebody and they got to come down, whatever it is. Apparently, that's common on both political sides, and that's the best they can do. Of course, the idea is then they'll issue a gag order. The Southern District of New York district attorney and all their shenanigans, according to some of the psychics I've looked at recently, that this operation is going to backfire on them because then the Trump team can get discovery and who knows what will come out. But it's certainly been the case all along. Everything they've done, whether it's the impeachment, he gets more popular. Impeach him again, he gets more popular. Steal his election, he gets even more popular. So it's interesting. Another recent story. I don't know if you heard this, Daku, but I'll let you comment in a second here. Some people, one of the psychics, saw Alexandria Cortez as a plant of the White Hats to make the Dems look even more ridiculous. And the Green New Deal stuff she had, I mean, on a surface, there had to be a lot of Democrats that kind of got the clue that you're not going to tear down every building in the U.S. and then rebuild it in a green energy saving. I mean, the energy required to do that would take up more energy than any energy efficient. I mean, you could build new buildings, sure, you know, and have better technology for energy efficiency. And we've been doing that for decades, of course. We got to get rid of the cows because they're flatulence. I mean, on and on. We can't fly planes. We'll have to build bridges across the Atlantic and the Pacific. Are you kidding me? I mean, so listen, I am not ruling it out. Who knows, man? It's a crazy world we're in. Almost nothing surprises me these days. We've got a president that can't even speak, goes up to the podium and whispers, I wrote the bill. I wrote the bill. Oh, crazy. Anyway, Doc, what's your thoughts on any of that stuff?
Well, you're right about all of that. You know, it's like I've said it before your show and other shows as well, you know, that nothing they do works out. It's just prone to failure. And it's because of their attitudes and their spiritual malfeasance. I don't know what is a better word, probably, but they're just unreal. They're just not even real.
Well, I think part of it is they are so inside their own echo chamber that they don't really hear how ridiculous they sound.
They can't.
This whole cult, you know, this wokeism, it's a cult. It's substituting, I think part of its appeal is for some people that they feel a spiritual void. So this is something they can believe in and has their homies and, you know, all their echo chamber buddies until one of them makes a bad tweet and all of a sudden they got to turn on them because eventually they end up eating themselves. So at any rate, just checking the, remember, if you want me to notice a comment, it helps if they're in all caps. It helps my eye catch them better if you want me to comment on anything in particular. At any rate, let's see. First of all, let me ask you, any other stories you've noticed recently, Daku? Anything else you want to talk about?
I covered the big ones that I know about.
Okay. Yeah, Antarctica, yeah, it's always interesting.
There's one other thing that I just popped into my head was that there are... it's either 29 or 39. That number escapes me. Dams are slated to be blown up. And I think some of them, if not all of them, may be stargates or portals, however you want to look at it. And it's to prevent the black hat aliens for lack of a better term for them. And so we'll have to kind of keep an ear on that.
Well, that's interesting. Will affect a lot of people. I mean, we're talking hydroelectric, and we're talking people downstream being flooded. We'll see if that's an overall positive, needs to be done or not. Or, you know, who knows? But I don't have any information on that. I don't think I'd heard that particular idea out there. But it does kind of correspond. You know, we did talk about the Three Gorges Dam and underground base potentially being flooded under there. We heard the stories about the White House and flooding the Potomac into there, and then washers gushing up through manhole covers in downtown. Apparently the same thing happened in Chicago. And we did also hear that story again. I don't know if it's true. I'm not saying it is, but it's very believable to me as a real possibility that one of the stumbling blocks between, you know, getting Trump back in or restoring the Republic and the Jussara and all that stuff is it turned out the underground bases were even worse than had thought, and that it really mobilized some positive extraterrestrials into taking direct action instead of merely being in a supportive role or only dealing with, you know, aliens that were negative.
Well, it's my information that the 13 silos of ours were just all simultaneously shut off, and it took them hours to get them back to ready to fire if needed.
You're talking missile silo bases?
Yeah. Out in the Midwest. But they turned them off. Our boys scrambling, trying to figure it out. But they're not going to allow another nuclear exchange or a nuclear exchange. I mean, the damn deep state's already lit off around 2,500 or more nuclear explosions in our atmosphere, which is not nice. Not nice for the planet. But I also believe that the planet can take care of herself, and with God's help, can do anything. And I don't know if I told you, but evidently the black goo is gone from this planet. It is nothing but good goo. Now, I don't know if that's oil, but at one point I was thinking, all right, the bad black goo, is that what they're paving our roads with? but I don't know.
Well, if it was somehow neuro or electrically conductive, what an insidious way to create an incredible neural network through the street system. Anyway, what I've heard is that there's a number of different goos. There's like red goo and green goo and yellow goo, and they have different properties. And the black goo is like the AI nanobot stuff. But apparently some of them are really rejuvenating. I don't know, maybe that's how they grow extra grow back limbs or something like that with some of these alleged super soldiers, which I believe are likely real.
I believe it. I mean, I've heard enough to have no doubt in my mind from a lot of different sources. And the Chinese are going full bore on the super soldier thing. You know, somebody gave them the instructions, I guess.
Well, it really goes back to Sparta, right? So if they could, they would, right? And if they could interface with some kind of cyborg-type enhancements or drugs or genetic or psychic, they would do it, wouldn't they? I mean, they're certainly not morally impaired.
No, heck no. Well, more? You can go back even to Sparta, and because of black magic and alchemy, those were things that were, you know, in force, and they were using that stuff. I think they're still using it today, or their ability to use it is winding down as they lose their powers and they lose the luxury of feasting on the fears of the people.
Over. Yeah, and they lose the grip on the narrative, which I believe is the biggest thing that's fallen apart. And more and more people are seeing through all the shenanigans. I mean, just the COVID thing alone, that comes out publicly that, yes, and of course, it pretty much already has. It's just not carried. But even now, we're seeing shifts in mainstream news where, like, ABC or somebody will cover something you didn't expect them to. And so they're supposed to be loosening up, and we're allowed to talk about voter fraud now again all of a sudden, and we're allowed to talk about, oh, is COVID a bioweapon now more than ever? Jim Jordan was talking about that on the floor of Congress there, going, hey, you know, how come Fauci's not in here? Which goes back to a point you said earlier. Where is little Tony?
He's on vacation island.
Well, he's either in. Yeah, I would not rule out him being in custody right now. These crimes are so off the charts. And so if and as this trends we see now continue, boy, folks, you know, strap in. Make sure,
well, you know,
seatbelt is fast.
Make sure your popcorn is not GMO.
Yeah, and that your seatbelt is locked and your chair is in the upright position, man, because this stuff, I mean, it feels to me like it's been continuing to be accelerated and accelerated.
They're the ones that are going to walk carelessly or with a devil may care attitude right up to the edge of the cliff and look over. Except they're going to get a little nudge.
I cannot get over that girl doing that. I mean, at the very tip of this thing that's called the diving board, it's probably around 13 feet long of a protuberance, and it's wedge shape. So it starts out really wide, but the very tip, it's only about a foot wide and then goes back at a fairly sharp angle.
Did she hang 10? Did she hang 10 at the foot mark?
I don't know. I was probably barely keeping my eyes open going, what? I did look over it, but man, I was freaking fully prostrate. I crawled out there, man. I wasn't taking any chances, but, I don't think I would have done it if I hadn't seen her walk out there because, you know, I wasn't, will it hold my weight? You know, geez, you know, well, apparently it's pretty strong. So,
Well, it never holds anybody's weight in the movies.
Especially Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, at any rate, I feel like I was talking about earlier that energetically it just feels really different right now. And again, this goes to some of the other psychics I've been watching. What they're saying now is that they're carefully, and actually Juan O'Savin said something almost exactly like this, only he was talking about the quantum computers. So he says they're sampling people every day to see where their heads are at. And he says things are really approaching, the tipping point, as our good friend Scott McKay would say, who doesn't even know me, but I should try to see if he wants to go on. He seems like a super nice guy, and I really like where he's coming from with this information. I think he'd be a great fit to show with some. If he has the time and energy, he's on his big Patriot Street Fighter World Tour thing right now. So I know he's not doing as many shows, and but he says that he's having just the time of his life, meeting so many people, and people are really warm and really appreciative of his efforts to help the situation with educating us all, and a real call to action and to get involved in your local politics and school boards and all that stuff. So right on, Scott.
Yeah, and he's got, I watched his, I forget what state he was in right now, but it was sort of like a Trump rally in a way. Mm-hmm. He's got a 40-foot Class A bus-type motorhome diesel pusher, and the trailer behind it, he's got a Harley Davidson. And he was going to, what's the name of that big bike in?
I would... Riding. At least nothing comes to mind, but now with fun, I'm too insane to ride a motorcycle. I concluded a long time ago.
Yeah, I have only three of them.
And they're not just dangerous because you might do something. They're dangerous because they're harder to see, you know, especially in urban type settings where there's big trucks and, you know, stuff. So,
it's like a bullfight.
Yeah.
Riding in traffic.
Yeah. Well, I did ride mini bikes when I was a kid, you know, when I was, you know, 12, 13, 14. And so I know they're a total blast, you know, to have all that power and that acceleration available, you know, with a good bike would be tempting fate in my case, I think. Here's another little thing. I was talking about Jim Jordan earlier. So he was confronting some Dems. I don't know where this was. I forget the story exactly. It might have been Georgia. I think it was the South somewhere. It almost certainly was, because what was happening is there was a proposal to tear down all these Confederate statues, right? Said to Democrats at the committee hearing, he goes, "You do realize all those statues you want to tear down, every single one of them was a Democrat."
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
Irony. The irony. Like I said, they end up eating themselves, you know.
Well, it's just their whole group is the blind leading the blind.
Well, I would say at the highest levels, it's really carefully orchestrated. It's just failing spectacularly. But that doesn't deter them one bit, because they're not worried about whether they get another yacht or whatever physical. They're fighting for very survival. And I think I'll talk about Cliff High a little bit now, because this was on my list of potential subjects. Cliff High did a show the other day about the mantids, right? So, you know, we always say, who's at the top of the pyramid, right? You know, some would say it's the Jews, it's the Jesuits, it's the Nazis, it's the reptilians, it's the pick your boogeyman. You know, I've often said that part of it is the demonic realm. I think this, with the Satanists, with their blood ritual sacrifices, they're opening up demon portals, which then infest them, makes them feel very powerful and arrogant. And Peter Strozek and Lisa Page, right? Peter Strozek, when he was testifying, he just had that complete look of arrogance, like, what am I doing here, you people? And you know, I don't have time, you know, and really just play. So I think that's a lot of it. But what Cliff High was talking about are his psychonaut adventures. And he went into that quite a bit. I'll tell you one thing about him. Listen, he'll rag on people. You know, he ragged on Michael Jacko. Oh, here's another guy who says he was a super soldier. What an idiot. You know, listen, I do not know if Michael Jacko was a super soldier or not, but I sure like him. I think the guy really does a really great job. He's even fairly good on the intellect side for a bodybuilder type. You know, he's obviously very physically oriented, and many of those people don't tend to be as gifted in other areas. You know, it's not a slight to them. I'm not as gifted as they are being in the physical. You know, I mean, it just depends on what kind of path you want to take. You know, so I don't mean that as a slight, but and it's intuitive stuff, and it's talking about love and all that stuff. So as far as I know, Jacko is not a deceiver or trying to lead us down the wrong path. As far as I can tell, he's very genuine.
I think he is too.
Yeah. But at any rate, so to get back to Cliff High, so he's talking about his psychonaut adventures and taking natural psychedelics. He likes mushrooms, psilocybin mushrooms, and the mescaline cactus are the two he thinks are the best, right? I have done psilocybin mushrooms, and not to the incredible doses he has. I forget what they call it, but it's supposed to be a transformative level. And believe me, folks, I do not recommend it either. Let me make that perfectly clear. I think there was a time when psychedelics had a real purpose, but I'm not so sure that time still exists. Maybe for some people, listen, it is really good at the psychedelics. They inform you that you are more than your physical. Whether you consciously realize that or not, you become aware at a real knowingness level that you are more than just your physical body. Inescapable. I mean, there's just – you just know it because you're actually experiencing it. So at any rate, so he's talking to these different beings, right? And one of them was a mantid that got very angry at him. And one of them was a mammalian type being who on his planet, they had managed to purge themselves of this infestation from these insectoid consciousness, manipulating beings. And he says like, this is like the original communists, that system they're trying to impose her. And so Cliff's high point was that he thinks the mantids are above all of them. He thinks the mantids run the reptilians and the greys. Listen, I don't know, folks. This is an interesting angle on this for me to consider, having had the experience of the abduction with the greys and the mantid overseeing them. There certainly was a mantid in charge of these little greys that took me. So he says that they have a very hierarchical system. And everybody's exactly in their place. There's like 50 different classes, you know, depending on what your birth role is to be, whether it's a worker or scientist or whatever all the parts of their society require. They have almost no emotion. The only real emotion they have is fear. And I think back to my experience, and one of the hugest things about it that told me this is real is the fear level is so off the charts, man. It's like a primal fear. I don't know how to describe it. But if you haven't experienced, only other abductees I know that I've talked to about this are like, yep. Poppy says demon. No, they're not. The demon level is a different, it's a whole different thing from the mantids. It's a big, man, folks, this is a big universe. Think of the diversity of life on Earth. I mean, you got strange stuff that you find in the ocean, really weird looking stuff in deep subterranean cages. I mean, just all kinds of such a myriad expression of life forms. It's my direct experience and therefore knowledge that these are two different things. But a lot of people do think all the UFO stuff are demons, and you know, hey, God bless you. But I can tell you, having dealt with both, no, they're very, they're actually very, very different. So anyway, so they have this incredible fear level, and they don't really know how to have new ideas. It's incredibly difficult for them because their brains don't have any neuroplasticity. And the thing that scares them about us the most is because we can have new ideas really quickly, and then they have to figure out how to react to them. And they said he said that I don't know if he just meant the leadership or all of them do this. I forget if he explained that, but he said that what they do is that the scientist mentor that he saw in a psychonaut adventure was doing some work that he was commanded to by one of the newborns. And he says, why is that the case? It's because the newborns, they actually, I think he said they do it chemically, but they implant the consciousness of one of the old ones who's, you know, reaching the end of its time into the new one. So they are birthed from an egg with full knowledge of that old one, and that consciousness goes back generations and generations. So they are an incredibly ancient consciousness and a real scourge on the galaxy. So that's an interesting angle on who's at the top of this pyramid of would-be tyrannists. Listen, I don't know, man. I just know that mantids are real. That's a fact. My real intuition about it is that there are a number of different factions that wield power in various different arenas, right? And they don't necessarily like each other either. In fact, he says that the mantids are very warlike and actually will extinguish other mantid hives because those mantid hives have varied from what they believe is the one way, and so they're also a threat. So it's a real scourge on the galaxy, and the only way this planet of this mammalian being he was talking to was able to purge them was to kill all of them. They had to completely, because they'll never stop, they never give up, they'll never surrender. So I don't know, interesting. From my perspective, having had the experience with the mantids and the grays, that's a huge question mark for me. What the hell is really going on? I've heard every different story imaginable, and I have my own conclusions about some of it. For instance, I know for a fact they're taking genetic samples and creating hybrids. I've met women who have been breeders, who have been pregnant and then not pregnant. How does that happen? You go to your doctor, yep, you're pregnant, and then they have an experience, and they wake up, and they just know the baby's gone. They just know it, and they go in. You know, this. I think there's typical times. I think it's the beginning of the second trimester, so just after 3 months, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, a lot of women have come forward to talk about these experiences and the questions they have about it, and some of them report having been taken up on the ships to give some emotional support to these sickly little freaks that they know are their son or daughter. And so it's a very horrific thing. And what's really going on with all this? Listen, folks, I don't know. This is speculation. I just know certain facts. For one, that it's real. Something's going on there. The interesting ideas from Cliff Fye. Do you have any thoughts on that, Daku?
No, I believe in the mantids. You know, I'm on board with them. And all of the popular ETs I'm on board with, the ones that I know about, but there's so many.
Well, like I said, it's a very big universe. We already have found planets, extrasolar planets, that are in what's called the Goldilocks zone. And what that addresses is the exact orbit of Earth from the sun and the type of sun. A lot of suns are variables, and we wouldn't survive long in those environments. the can you talk about climate change? I mean, they go their output in all their spectrums can be highly variable, where it'd be freezing one day and then it goes into a cycle and then turns it and just, you know, burns the planet into to being uninhabitable. But there are planets being found with water in the Goldilocks zone, and they're estimated to be, I think the current estimates are, there are between 200 to 400 billion stars just in this one galaxy, the Milky Way. And it's kind of a moderately large galaxy as galaxies go. And then there's at least that many galaxies out there. So, you know, you're going into numbers such that even if there's the smallest chance that life can form, if the conditions are right, they will be. And I do think that's the case. I think consciousness is universal and life forms everywhere it can. And it may turn out life is a lot more conducive on these other places than we've been told about the conditions, for instance, on Venus or on Mars or even the moon. Some people say the moon has a small atmosphere. Any rate, so then extrapolating from that, there is a ton of different beings and different civilizations. And they have agendas ranging from everything from wanting to uplift fellow races to wanting to harvest certain races for genetics and even food to races and life forms that want to terminate any race that isn't theirs. So I think it's a big universe and that we've got all these players going on, and they all have various levels of activity and dominance. And some say that planet Earth herself is at a crossroads of star traffic because of the sun is a stargate. So, again, interesting idea. We do have photographs that have been posted on the NASA website showing objects appear to go in and out of the sun, actual starship battles, and huge, like world-sized UFOs, or objects anyway, that the SOHO satellites have captured. And these are satellites that are, I believe there's a total of five of them, that are aimed at the sun. That's our one job, is to actually monitor the sun's corona. So they have a black disc to cover the sun, so then that light can be captured without too much glare from the center of the sun. So these have been capturing these photographs, and some wonderful researchers have talked about that and pointed them out to these. So I don't know, folks. What I do know for sure is that there are different extraterrestrials visiting here as we speak. I know because I've encountered them, both on the physical and in the telepathic realm, and seen a lot of crazy stuff. Anyway, you've heard all my stories, but I don't know, man. Who's at the top of the pyramid? What do you guys think? James Gilliland has told us it's actually, what happened was that the Anunnaki made a deal with the reptilians where they kind of shared areas. And if that's true, that suggests to me that the reptilians took Central and South America, and the Anunnaki took Africa and Asia. At least the Middle East part. It could be the reptilians are also involved in the Asian with all their dragons and that's, you know, that going on. Will we find out? You know, we continue to get more and more information. It would be interesting if we ever do get declassified, and I think it's possible we will, what the government's interaction has been. Is it true that Somebody like Dwight D. Eisenhower, when he was president, met with them while pretending to be at a dentist appointment. Some people have come out and said, yeah, I was there at the base when the UFO landed. It was the Greys. There's an interesting Russian video, supposedly, of Greys meeting them, and it shows the beings. And they're standing there in their little, I think they're sort of like jumpsuits. It's been a while since I watched that video. But these looks really convincing. Again, these days, you know, we don't trust anything until we got hardcore proof of, especially stuff like that. But you were talking about no nuclear wars, Doku, earlier as well. Well, we know people like Robert Salas, who was the commander of a missile silo base. I think it was in North Dakota, but I forget. It might have been Montana. Reported how this light, one of the perimeter guards called in and said, there's this, I think it was a red light, but at any rate, some glowing object had just flown over the perimeter into the base. And they're going, you've been drinking or something? What's going on over there? And more guards started relaying in, yep, there it is. And then one by one, the missiles got turned off. Mind you, they don't have an off switch. Nuclear missiles are 24/7 hot nuclear deterrent. You know, if we get missiles flying in from Russia or China, they're not going to be saying, oh, I better warm up the old ICBM here. Get it ready. Is it fueled up? Well, so they don't have an off switch. When they came back on, after the craft or whatever it was, this light left, it was probably an avatar or something, or what do you call that? Not avatar, Merkaba being inside of it's a consciousness being. But at any rate, they demonstrated, and they've done this in Russia. We've had reports out of Russia. This is not the only time this has happened, where UFOs have shut down nuclear missiles. Was it at a point where tensions were high and there was a potential for a first strike launch or some ridiculous insanity that we know some in higher levels of the military have proposed? And we better get them before they get us, right? Some people genuinely, you know, believe that they needed to do that. Patton had the idea of after they finished with the Nazis of going into Russia and dealing, you know, after the... Oh, you know, Jim Farrell said something very interesting, too, recently talking to Daniel, the dark journalist. I had never heard this before. Taku, tell me if you have. But he said, how is it that the Nazis lost about 2 million troops... and it's estimated the Russians lost something in the order of 32 million. Incredibly lopsided. And he said it's because they had some very advanced weapons they were using there that they didn't want to use on the British and French because they had more respect for them. And later, of course, the Americans after America entered the war. But they had the Russians just had all the bodies to throw at them. And then, of course, the incredibly cold winter set in and put a halt to almost everything. And, you know, so interesting. Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, the Germans had the Vril, and they were, they're still around as far as I know. And they had all the... sophisticated technology, access to it. I think they traveled, you know, throughout the universe. More than likely, I don't have evidence or proof, but you know, like you say, when you have an instinctual take on something, you know, you might put it on the back burner, but you don't throw it out.
Well, we all see, boy, you know, I've been saying that all night. I feel like we're at such a such an interesting time. Things are changing so fast. I mean, you know, Conrad and I, when our Sunday show is near New Year's Eve, whether it's the day after or before, slight thereabouts, always talk about predictions. One of the things we've been saying, man, is every year, listen, this year is going to not look – at this time, same time next year, things are going to be very different. Of course, that's not a hard prediction, I should say, to make. But I'll tell you, it's been absolutely true that things have been changing at a much faster rate. And I felt, like I said earlier, a major lightening of the kind of energetic field, whatever you want to call it, the collective consciousness. It just feels that good things are happening, man. And I think we're seeing some of the fruits of that in very limited amounts with, again, as I was talking about earlier, more and more stuff coming out about COVID and supposedly a Chinese scientist defected, and China says, no, we got them here, but if you get them, extradite them to us, you know, give them back. And he's apparently spilling beans big time about all that. And more scientists coming out, you know, hey, we've looked at the genetic coding and this, I think they call it CCG. I guess it's a, if I remember correctly, it's a particular DNA strand, a grouping of chromosomes. I may have this wrong, folks, but only appears in when they take a virus and want to do gain of function on it. So that's the first tool in their bag, is to insert this gene sequence. So that is a clear fingerprint of a lab-born as opposed to something that appeared in nature. And a number of scientists have told us this. Cliff High did his own homework on that and said that months ago. And this, another Chinese woman scientist was on Tucker Carlson last year saying that exact thing, that the gene sequence is the fingerprint. So we will see, folks. Man, if that comes out, that COVID was a escaped, I mean, probably at most I'll say it was escaped lab virus. I think it was intentional, but you know, I've told that story. I think the transfer got botched. I think White Hat shot one of the dudes or the technician with the vial, and it cracked and got out at the Wuhan market where they were meeting. And it's interesting, at that time when that allegedly, you know, the story is of when that origins of how it escaped happened, that lab had just, right at that time period, just after that, posted a technician wanted ad in one of their whatever trade publications or something like that. Who knows, folks? But will we know? God, you know, obviously China's not going to tell us. You know, Biden's all cool. Oh, sure, let the WHO investigate themselves on whether they did anything wrong. You know, So we will see, but that's a big one. If that hits the fan, folks are going to be pissed. And, boy, I keep hearing more and more stories of very unfortunate things happening from the vaccine. So I would caution all of you, if you can't, I don't think they're giving out the insert of what's supposed to be in this stuff.
Or just a blank piece of paper. And pharmacists are the ones that take the ingredients out of the box and put in a blank piece of paper, and they're going to go to Gitmo 2. And the nurses are just as liable. They're culpable.
So, well,
allopathic medicine is going to get turned upside down, and naturopathic medicine is going to be totally in charge.
Well, also with all the suppression of hydroxychloroquine and Regeneron, and I forget that, Integraton, no, I forget the other one. You know, which are actually technically vaccines, at least hydroxychloroquine is both a, I guess, a vaccine considered by the medical establishment, both a vaccine and a palliative or whatever you call it, a treatment. So we are going to hit the end of the show shortly. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Go ahead.
Don't forget, when next time you want me on, call me.
Right, right. If I see you in the chat room, I'll just call you.
Okie dokie.
I will. I'm glad you reminded me, though, because I do want to. You've reminded me. I need to, as soon as I get off air, take a look at my settings and see if I can see any problems there.
Yeah. Could be.
Skype was great when it first came out. It just worked great. I could take calls all night. And it actually had a much bigger bandwidth, too. So, you know, of course, Bill Gates got his mitts on it and it gradually degraded it. There is the music. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Doku. Thank you, everybody in the audience. We'll see you next time, my friends.
See ya.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm... seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern.